What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
2 days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about urban legends, ghost stories, and folklore, a new book by Micah Campbell. We've all heard those stories that seem to be passed down. Maybe it's a haunted hitchhiker, a ghost everyone knows about that haunts a cemetery. Maybe it's something more nefarious, like a monster that people have reportedly seen in a nearby forest or swamp. We've all shared those stories and we've all heard those stories, but do we really know the truth? Do we really know what goes bump in the night? Do we really want to? What is the truth behind those spooky legends? I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we'll explore urban legends, ghost stories, and folklore, a new book from author Micah Campbell. Micah, thank you so much for being on the show today. I look forward to talking to you about this book because I've had fun reading it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Carol. I am really looking forward to diving into it. I like talking about myself, but I also like talking about ghost stories. So I think it should be, a blast. That's right.
So I like to know people's background. And with you writing a book like this, when did the interest in the paranormal, supernatural, when did that enter your life? When you were a kid? Is it something that you just got curious about later in life?
Well, you know, that is a really good question. I get asked that a lot, and I kind of have to rethink it every time to try to figure out when it started. I have to say, and this has been my answer before, but I have to say probably when I saw my first Iron Maiden album cover. And it was just, you know, it was kind of dark and, you know, kind of quote unquote satanic. Iron Maiden's not satanic, but you know, it just had, you had a skull and, you know, it had some brain pieces and things like this. It was just dark. And now we look back at Iron Maiden, of course, we kind of laugh because they're cheesy. I still love them. That album cover kind of took me, and I said, oh man, that's, you know. And so that was probably like 8-10 years old. And so ever since then, I've just been a bit more, I don't know, drawn to the darker things in art or in stories or in movies and in music. So I have to say it probably started there.
Now, did you have any personal experience with the paranormal?
I mean, I have had a few experiences. You know, I was in a band for a long time in the late 90s, early 2000s. And we were at a rehearsal one time before a show, and the guy's house we were at, you know, we're playing, and his sister came down, we're just rehearsing, and I need to use the restroom. And so he said, okay, go upstairs, you know, but he said, I can't even remember the ghost's name. He said, don't piss off Ronnie or whatever. And I said, okay, whatever. And his sister's like, no, seriously, don't. And I was like, okay, this is weird. This house I've never been to in this city I've never been to. And these people, okay, whatever. So I walked up the stairs. So it's a split level. So we're in the garage and I walked up one level, and going up the level, there's pictures on all on the walls, you know, like one does. So pictures on all of the walls of family members in frames. And so I walk up, and then you have a landing, and then you walk up the next flight, and there's the restroom. So I used the restroom, came back down, walked down, and as I'm walking down, I kid you not, all the frames turned, like, what? I don't know, maybe 15 degrees, and freaked me out to no end. And I ran down and I told him. He's like, oh, well, you pissed off Ronnie. I was like, what? And so I packed my stuff and I'm out. We'll rehearse the gig. It's over. So that's really the only experience I had at a younger age. It was gnarly.
What did you do to Ronnie other than go to the bathroom?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I didn't wash my hands. Okay. I didn't wash my hands.
Maybe that was it. You know,
but I was a rock star, man. You can't wash your hands when you're a rock star.
No. Ronnie should know.
I know, Ronnie's got to know, man. But yeah, so that was my first kind of crazy experience. I was pretty much that I didn't like. You know, I did not like that. I like the stories, and I have a story we can get into later about my visit to Stoll, Kansas, which is
I definitely want to talk about that.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the seven gateways of hell, and visited that, and that was great. The whole time was great, but this one. Because I have no explanation. I have zero explanation to this day of how all those picture frames just went brrr, and like all in unison just turned like 15 degrees. Yeah, that was messed up.
Now, the book, Urban Legends, Ghost Stories, and Folklore,
mm-hmm.
is there a difference between those three things, or is it more like a fine line between them?
You know, I think the most reliable... I don't, and this is just me. I am not the expert. I'll pretend like I'm an expert. I do that all the time. But I would say that folklore is probably your most accurate. It's probably your oldest, right? Because that is passed down from, you know, usually folklore is passed down from one to another, not even written down sometimes, but just as stories. And it's folklore usually has to do with a tale of morality. Usually you're trying to teach someone something or warn someone about something with folklore. And that kind of, you know, it goes throughout the ages, and it can change and it can turn into an urban legend. But I think the folklore kind of is like the basis or the building block of urban legends. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then urban legends, you know, that's kind of one of my points one of my points in the book is that urban legends are just, I mean, they can just go anywhere. You know, there's no, by the time you get to the end of an urban legend, it's already had three new beginnings. There is just no end to an urban legend. It's always evolving and always changing. It does have a base. It does have a root, but it's always evolving and changing, just like, you know, a game of telephone. You'll never end up with what you started with.
Yeah, that's true. Because it does also seem like, and we'll get into this a little bit more with some specific stories, but it seems like a lot of communities, especially smaller towns, I don't know, I did not grow up in a big city. I grew up in a small town. And it seems like a lot of small towns have these urban legends that everybody seems to have a variation of them, like a vanishing hitchhiker or the county road that something happened on. And if you drive at a certain time of night, you'll see this apparition. Right. There's so many things. You'll see the woman walking everybody. Down the road.
I mean, I think I hit a couple roads in my book. I know I do Hicks Road. Boy Scout Lane.
I want to talk about Lane. That's two.
Right. There's Zombie Road here in Missouri. That I'm doing for book two. So that, yeah, everybody's got, right. And because I used to do a little, just a little podcast, during COVID, that's kind of what got me on this idea of writing a book about it. But a lot of listeners would send in their stories, and a lot of them were like blank, blank road or, you know, blank, blank road. And it was like, okay, yeah. So yeah, everybody's got a road, but where does that original story come from? You know, that's what I try to find out in these books that I'm writing is where the original story came from. And then from there, it just like a game of telephone, it just spreads and spreads and spreads.
Was there a story when you were researching it, or story or two, that really did? It was like, whoa, this took a whole turn I wasn't planning on. You know, you just thought you were looking into a vanishing hitchhiker story. And then, wow, there was much more.
Well, you know, there was one, and you said that you you got the book, and I don't think you finished it yet.
I have not finished the book yet, but I've been reading the book.
So there is a there's a story called the Fouke Monster, F-O-U-K-E Monster. And I was excited to read about this one because it was a giant. I have a good friend. She's an author. She's a very well beloved author, Betsy Kulikowski, and we're very good friends. And she loves Bigfoot. So I did like the Abominable Yeti, you know, and I did a couple of stories about the larger bipedal humanoid type cryptids for mainly with her in my mind. And so one of these was the Fouke Monster, and it was a giant Yeti type, Bigfoot type monster. And so I did all the research. And you know what's funny about this is people who've read this book and they email me or DM me on Instagram, they're like, you know, I Googled everything you said and it was all true. You know, so I did my research. Nothing in here is fabricated. I came to a very easy conclusion that this was nothing more than a black bear. That these people just really wanted, these people in Miller County, Arkansas, just really wanted an urban legend. So they took this story about a black bear attack and made it an urban legend. And it cracked me up. And it's one of the funniest chapters because I totally break the fourth wall in it. And I just start talking to them. To the people in Arkansas, like, you guys know this is a black bear. This is not a real urban legend. So that was one of the ones that really took a turn because I was so excited to do it. And then all the evidence, it's irrefutably a bear. So that was pretty funny.
That is one fun thing about this book is that when you read it, you feel like it's interesting how you wrote it. It's kind of like you pick up on your personality and you are talking to me directly,
yes.
Which is a hard thing to do when you're writing a book, but you really do pick up on your personality, and it's a very well-written book, and it's very enjoyable.
Awesome. Thank you for saying that.
I really enjoyed reading it.
That's how I want to take with all of my writings. That's how I would like to read stories is, you know, I want people talking to me. The more I can feel engaged when I'm reading a story, you know, the more I'm going to enjoy the story, obviously. So thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that you took that.
Yeah, it's really well written. And
thank you.
Is one thing as I was reading it that popped in my head. It seems like a lot of urban legends are really more from rural America. And you might not even know the answer to this question. Because we have the county road that has the woman who's walking down it and then disappears. I'm assuming in the middle of Chicago or New York City is, you know, a certain Grant Street or whatever the street name might be. I would assume they have those stories there. But the ones that I'm more familiar with are all in smaller towns and out in the country areas. You have to kind of go find the location.
Right. You know, and I don't know if that's because of the lower population. Mm-hmm. You know, that could it could really have something to do with that. It could be that the people in the big cities are just, you know, too busy to notice. But that's a good observation that I'm looking through my chapter titles. I did 31 stories, something like that. And yeah, I don't think a single one came from a large city.
One thought I have on that is that when you live in a smaller town, there's not a lot to do. And so you've heard of all those. So it's like, let's go look for the ghost that goes down that county road about 5 miles out of town because you have nothing else to do.
Yeah, like saying, you know, the distraction of things might, who knows, there could be urban legends there or hauntings there or any number of cryptids walking around in the dark alleys. But in the small towns, you go looking for them, or maybe you notice them more. And in the big cities, maybe you don't.
So I want to ask you about, I want to kind of dive into some of these stories, if you don't mind.
Like you said,
there's so many of them. We will not cover them all. There will be lots of stories for you to read. But the one I want to start with is the one that you mentioned from Stoll, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And You live up by Kansas City. I live in Wichita, and it's out. It looks like south of Topeka. I've never been there because it's really not much of a town.
No, it's nothing. It is. That was something that was shocking. You were talking about, you know, going with certain expectations and being met with a twist. That town is, you can't even call it a town. It's one street. The entire Stoll, Kansas is one street that is probably a football field long, maybe a little longer. And it is three houses, then like a church, a post office, and two more houses. And all those houses are on the left side of the street. Three houses, a post office, a church, and two more houses. That's the entire town.
Oh, and you forgot to mention, and the gateway to hell.
And the gateway to hell.
It's got that,
because
too.
On the other side of the town, on the north side of the town, taking that full, you know, 100 yards or so, the full football field length of the town, on the other side of the street is a cemetery. We kind of always grew up hearing about it, hearing about, or even seeing, you might even see movies. I think Stoll has been in a few movies. I know it was featured on Supernatural. Did you ever watch that?
I did not, but after I read that story, the first thing I did was start Googling.
Yeah, it's a great show. If you've got,
check that out.
It's 15 seasons, so it's long. And some of the seasons like 8 through 12, not so great. But most of it is incredible. It's a great, great show. But a lot of their later apocalyptic stuff is based on Stoll. And so the story behind Stoll is that it is one of the seven gateways of hell. And so much so, this is such a believed notion that actually the Pope, and it doesn't matter who is presiding as the Pope, but the Pope, when he is visiting the United States, his plane will not, their flight plan will not pass over Kansas. They will actually go around it. He will not cross over the gateway of hell. So that's how deep the belief of this particular urban legend goes.
And it's a creepy story.
It is.
So I'm going to let you go into that story because it's creepy.
Long ago, you know, before the town was really established, I guess it's probably while it was trying to be established, and the reason it's not could be because of this. But a church, the priest of the church, and it's really cool because you can actually see the foundation of the church still. If you were to visit Stoll today, now today it's guarded, it's fenced off. They have patrols and dogs there, especially around like the equinox or Halloween or you know, anything like that. Yeah, just because of paranormal investigators, kids wanting to see what's going on. So it's very guarded now. Back when we went, it was guarded, but the church was still standing. There was no roof on it, but the four walls were still up, which was sick. It was just so much fun. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. So church pastor or priest, I guess you'd call him, he had a relationship with one of the parishioners, and he ended up impregnating her, and she told him that that she was pregnant. And instead of coming clean and, you know, taking care of her and dealing with that the way he should have, he publicly, after a sermon one Sunday, publicly accused her of witchcraft. This was when she started showing, so that when he couldn't ignore it anymore. Accused her of witchcraft, sentenced her to death, and the congregation killed her that night, hung her from a tree hanging right outside of the church, killed her that night, buried her, and carved the word witch with two T's, W-I-T-T-C-H, into a stone as her headstone. And yeah, killed her that night. And the story goes that the child that was basically born out of this tryst was still, or not born, but conceived out of this tryst, was born in the grave and basically born to death. And so instead of crawling up, it crawled down to hell. And there is a stairway that the baby made on its descent into hell. And that stairway is a gateway to hell. It's a great story.
It is a great story.
It is a great story. It's so good.
I like to think that the little baby, the innocent one, as the woman was,
I
did an episode recently all on witchcraft and how so many people were accused of witchcraft because it was an easy way out for this guy.
Yep, sure was. It was easy. Yeah, he just.
Hey, she's a witch.
Right, she's a witch, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker because he's the priest. He's not going to lie to him, right?
It was all her fault.
Yeah, yeah.
And she needs to die.
If I don't know if you read the whole story, but you can actually still see they had put a well over it, and that well is still there. They demolished it, but that the stonework of the well is still there as well. So you've got the slab of the church. You've got the trunk of the tree, which they cut down. I think they cut down. I can't remember when. I think I said it in my book.
I think it's 1998 is what I have.
98. Okay. And they cut it down because of people trying to go and see what, you know, it became too dangerous. So they basically started demolition on all of this, but you can still see the stump. You can still see the well covering, and you can still see the slab of the church there. And you know, like I said, yeah, the Pope won't fly over it. There's really cool stories of celebrities that will go and visit it and come away with, you know, with feelings of being haunted or being touched by something nefarious there. You know, it's a really, really cool story.
Now, when you went, the walls of the church were still up, is that mm-hmm. where you put the bottles in a cross and then you threw them at the church and you couldn't break the bottles? Was it the church wall that you were throwing them at?
Yes. Yeah. So one of the legends, the rumors, part of this legend is that within the four walls of the church, there was it's probably the two worlds connecting, right? So there was probably a little bit of I don't want to say magic. Magic's not the right word, but some kind of supernatural force. Anyway, so the story goes that if you were in the four walls of the church, the outside elements would not affect you on the inside. So wind, rain, snow, nothing like that. And so the first thing we did when we found the church was we went inside to see if we could still feel the wind and, you know, the drizzle and things like that. And this could have been placebo, but we swore to each other that we couldn't, right? So in our minds, we really thought that when we were inside the church, inside the four walls, the elements weren't really affecting us. But the real test came when the second part of this story is that if you were to put two bottles in the shape of a cross and then throw them against the stone, that you couldn't get them to break. And so being the young 23-year-old idiots that we were, we had some beer bottles. We did that. We crossed them and we threw them. And no matter how hard we threw them, honestly, I'm not making it up, for real, they didn't break. And that's when I got freaked out.
And beer bottles should break when you throw them against a stone wall.
Correct. Right. I've broken some beer bottles before and they did not break. No one could do it. Out of all five of us that were there, we all tried because at that point we're freaking out and making too much noise. And yeah, we couldn't get them to break.
And you were also able to find the stone, the WITTCH.
Yes.
Which stone?
So, right. So that was actually placed inside I don't know how you would call it a manhole, right? But of course it's not because it's stone, but it's what's covering the well. And so inside on that stone itself, it's all shattered and it's covered now. But if you dig through, and I don't know what they've done to it now, this was years ago, we uncovered the big mountain of rocks that they had put on top of it, and we actually found the headstone, and it was still there, WITTCH. And of course, it was broken and it was shattered in pieces, but it was still there. I think I lamented in my story that I sure as heck wish we had cell phones back then, because I mean the pictures that we could have had, and it just too much cool stuff that we really don't have anywhere, but just in our memories, because obviously no cell phones.
When you did get out of there and chased out of there,
yes,
is what. Is the real term of what happened. You were chasing. Right.
Well, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess we can comment on that real quickly. So like I said, now everything is torn down. They really won't even let you in the town. I mean, you'll get the stink eye. You'll get called on if you can go into the town, because there's no reason for any outsiders to be there. So we went at witching hour, because if you're going to do something with the other side, what better time between, you know, midnight
exactly.
and three, right? There's no better time. So we went, at the witching hour, and we were at the top of the hill overlooking the town, And there was one guard with a dog. It was a Doberman. And now at this time, there was only a chain link fence. And, you know, there were some stone columns on the corners, right? But there was nothing too hard to jump at this point. Yeah, we're looking at this guard, this dog. And of course, it's a Barney Fife, you know, and no offense to folks who are security guards, right? It's a great service. But this was not a police officer, not a highly trained. He probably didn't even have a gun. He probably just had a nightstick and a flashlight. Who knows? Of course, being out in the dark, I guess you might want a firearm out in the dark by yourself. So maybe he did. But anyways, yes, there was a guard there. So we had to park up on a hill behind these trees. And we you know, ninja snuck over to the fence. And then as soon as he was on the other side of the graveyard, sure enough, one by one, we hopped the fence, did all of our hijinks, our exploration, investigation. Like I said, we were making too much noise at the end, trying to break those bottles and just being hyped up about this cool thing we had found. Yeah, we hear the dog barking and we hear him shouting, and we end up getting chased through the graveyard, back over the fence, jumping into the, I can't remember, was it a minivan or if it was like a old SUV, but, you know, it fit five of us, and jumping in there. And actually one of our friends hit his head jumping in and actually got knocked unconscious.
Oh my God.
That's how fast we were moving. So he hit his head, got knocked unconscious. We had to drag him into the van and we peeled out. So yeah, that was a pretty great experience altogether, the supernatural stuff and just the adrenaline rush of being chased by a cop and a Doberman.
And you went to the portal to hell, all right. Of that in one night.
Right. Yeah, there's only one. There's only one in the United States. And yeah, and that's it. So it's pretty good company, if I do say so myself. Yeah, there's one in Greece, one in Iceland, one in Rome. One in China, I believe. But yeah, this is the only one that is in the United States,
and almost smack middle in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. So isn't that
crazy.
Wild?
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
Another story that you hear a lot of are the gravel roads, the highways, the county roads. You're out in the middle of nowhere. There's a story that this road is haunted, and mm-hmm. any number of things could happen. But there's one that you wrote about in the book, The Boy Scout Lane.
Yeah.
Because there's a ghost story that goes with it, but then you dug into the truth, and the truth was really horrific. The Boy Scouts going camping, and then the Boy Scout leader woke up in the morning, and they were all gone.
Right.
But that isn't really what happened. There was an accident or something.
Yeah, here's what really happened. It was a freak accident. The troop never actually made it to the campsite, but instead died in a horrible bus crash on the way there. The troop leader was the only survivor, and he completely snapped after taking in the death and carnage all around him. He spent the entire day, all that night, and early parts of the next morning transporting the burned and broken bodies of each boy and the bus driver to the campsite, burying them under each tent. He set up an entire campsite like nothing had happened, and to this day, the bodies are still buried in shallow graves right there at the campsite.
Now, do you think that really happened? Because it seemed like there would have been families that want their loved ones back.
Right. You'd have to think that they would have excavated that campground and found them. That is what I found in my investigation. As that's what he admitted to happening. You know, he wasn't the cause of the wreck, but I guess it just broke him spiritually and mentally so much that he just went about this routine that kind of put him in this place of peace. Yeah, and that's really what happened.
Well, and he went crazy in that time, you know, and it was probably to him, we're going camping. I'm going to take the boys camping.
He had to stick with that routine because the reality, it was too much. And I don't blame his mind for breaking like that.
And where did this happen?
Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
So to this day, there's that stretch of road. And people still feel that stretch. And there was definitely an accident that happened there, and these boys were killed.
There was an accident. The bus blew up. Everyone in the bus was killed. There was also some random events afterward that still happened on that road, such as seeing a ghostly encounter. There's a story in there I found of a couple girls driving through there and catching something on their video camera. You know, so there are still things that were happening there, but it's privately owned now. So you cannot get onto it. The person that owns it is actually known to take shots with rock salt at people if they try to get onto it now.
Because it's not a very long stretch of road.
No, not at all. I think I can't remember for sure. But I think I said was it a quarter mile or something?
It's not long. Yeah, it's not long at all.
The Boy Scouts of America had just bought this little plot, you know, they bought that quarter mile road and the surrounding acreage for a new Boy Scout camp. And so this was the maiden voyage per se of that new property. And it was the only one that ever happened.
I wasn't ready for it to be such a tragic story because it's Boy Scout Lane.
Right.
Sounds kind of delightful.
Yeah.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with author Micah Campbell. We'll talk more about his book, Urban Legends, Ghost Stories, and Folklore in our next episode. And if you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it there 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there. Also, all ad-free. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
America's Social Casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's Social Casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.